could be a deal on Wall Street regulations.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. For months, there was a notion that financial regulatory reform was a political winner. People were so angry about bank bailouts and an insurance company rescue that it was certain to find a way through Congress. Yet only now has reportedly some sort of deal been reached in the Senate, and it doesn't even include what many advocates claimed was the centerpiece of reform, a separate consumer financial protection agency for things such as credit cards and mortgages. The proposed new entity would be placed under the umbrella of the Federal Reserve. So why the turn of events? Maybe it was the financial industry lobbying blitz, as reporter Brett Neely has more.
If you want to sink an idea in Washington these days, an attack ad can help. This one, funded by the Chamber of Commerce, says small business owners are already sleepless due to the economy.
Now Washington wants to make it worse with the CFPA, a massive new federal agency that will create more layers of regulation and bureaucracy.
Ads like this are the tip of the iceberg when it comes to influencing lawmakers. The financial industry spent nearly $500 million sending lobbyists to Capitol Hill last year. Dave Leventhal is with the Center for Responsive Politics.
Despite the economy being as rotten as it was in 2009, they spent more money on lobbying in 2009 than they even did in 2008, which to a lot of people is pretty remarkable.
And he says they're on track to spend even more this year. Then there's campaign contributions. The financial industry has already given over $100 million to congressional election campaigns this November. The center's data shows that in 2009, the industry gave Democrats $58 million and Republicans $44 million. Democrat Chris Dodd and Republican Richard Shelby run the Senate Banking Committee. They've pulled in a combined $20 million from the industry over the course of their careers. Are the banks getting what they want from the bill? Scott Talbot lobbies for the Financial Services Roundtable.
We're pleased with the trend and the way the discussions are going.
And it's not just banks that are lobbying against a regulator to protect consumers. Some of the other groups that have lobbied against the idea include McDonald's, Walmart, and the Society of American Florists. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Let's check numbers. European shares are higher, under 0.5% right now. Asian markets closed mostly higher today as well. The Nikkei gained 0.5% on news that Japan's unemployment rate dropped. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added about 78 points to close above 10,400. Today, Chile's biggest winemaker announced it's going to halt production for at least a week. That's just one example of how that country's economic gears have slowed since a deadly 8.8 earthquake last weekend. Andrea Stiglich is correspondent with the Economist Intelligence Unit. She's with us this morning from London. Good morning.
Good morning.
How much of Chile's exports affect what we have here in the United States? I mean, is it a lot? Are we talking agriculture, food, copper, those things?
Copper is about 50% of Chile's exports, and that is actually not the hardest hit. Worse is wine production, which is in the center of the affected regions, and that's something that you get in the U.S. Fisheries is another sector that has been greatly affected because of the damage done to the ports. The port of Talcahuano in particular, where the tsunami hit after the quake.
Where the tsunami hit, so things can't get out of the port. It's not things coming into Chile, it's things going out, right?
At the moment, it's both ways. So in particular, in the port of Talcahuano, where a lot of rebuilding will have to take place before activity can resume. But Chile has many other ports, and certainly Talcahuano is not the main one. So it will reestablish trade relations in the next few days.
We know about the copper and also the agricultural aspect of its economy. How diversified is the economy in Chile? Can it overcome something like this?
It certainly can. It is diversified enough in terms of trade partners, but it is still going to be gravely affected in terms of employment. But Chile is in a good position to rebuild, and Chile can recover. It is well placed to recover from something like this.
Andrea Stiglich is a correspondent in London with the Economist Intelligence Unit. Andrea, thanks.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents, offering a choice of companies and coverage. You can find a local agent at 1-800-WE-INSURE.
British pound is still under pressure on the foreign exchange markets this morning. That's bad news for the United States. Marketplace Europe correspondent Stephen Beard reports from London.
Political fears are dragging down the British pound. The UK's looming general election is the source of concern. An indecisive result would leave the government unable to tackle Britain's soaring budget deficit. This is not good for the US. As the pound wilts and the euro also weakens, the dollar is riding high. Normally a good sign. But as the US economy recovers, this is just what the US doesn't need, says Andrew Hilton, head of the CSFI think tank.
The best thing that could happen to the US economy is for the dollar to tank a little bit, would make American exports in world markets more competitive, and it would discourage Americans from buying Japanese cars or Korean cars or whatever they buy.
But as the dollar rises, making foreign goods cheaper in the US, British and other foreign exporters are rejoicing. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, today we heard Hyundai's February sales numbers were up sharply, thanks in large part to Toyota recalls. And no doubt the Korean automaker would like to keep the momentum going. It's one of the big sponsors of Sunday's Academy Awards, which could have meant double duty for actor Jeff Bridges.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details.
But Bridges is also up for an Oscar in the movie Crazy Heart. Well, the Oscar people said he can't be featured in an ad that runs near segments with the star. So the Hyundai people said, not a problem. We've got a supporting cast. Martin Sheen, Kim Basinger, Richard Dreyfuss, a couple of them, Oscar winners themselves. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online at marketplace.org. Share your thoughts with us and grab the podcast, too, at our website. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.